With me on the phone right now, I've got Luke Brown for my edition of Farmer Friday this week. Luke, thanks for being with me here on KIIC today.
Thanks, Pat.
You betcha. A lot of activity since the last time I talked to you. Go ahead and give us some information about rainfalls that happened there east of Eddyville, and of course you're south of Cedar. Talk about that.
It delayed planting quite a bit. I mean, we had a lot of rain late April. I mean, you talk to any farmer, it's been kind of a struggle getting completed. We had some nice windows to get planting done, but just to finish up, it just seemed to drag out forever. And I think we had, I can't remember the exact amounts, I just know it's a lot.
but that
we
being
haven't had rain, we haven't had a measurable rain really since, I think, well, May 24th or something like that.
Yeah, it has been a while, but when it was raining, it was raining hard. And, quite honestly, it was needed because of the fact that the subsoil moisture was in such a poor shape.
Yeah, it was very much so needed. The pastures are looking really good. Lots of grass, lots of forage out there for cattle feed.
That's what I was going to ask about you on the planting side. You did get your planting done then, right?
Yes, we finished up. Yep.
Now, you guys have done a lot of triticale in the past, and of course that's a timing item as well. Talk about that harvest. Did you get it done?
We did finish up. We dry bale it, and we finished up 2 days ago. And we actually finished up putting beans in behind that yesterday.
Okay.
And that is going to need a rain. We would try to find moisture, but triticale pulls a lot of moisture out of the ground. And we planted them about an inch and a half, and we're going to have rain to get those beans to come up. But, we could have went 2.25, 2.5, and there still wasn't enough moisture to get those beans to come out of the ground and probably be viable. Just with this heat coming, we're worried that it'll dry down to the seed, and then, we'll just need a rain to get those beans up. So hopefully we get some rain here in the next week.
There you go. Now, going back to that triticale, you said you dry bale it in terms of making certain that the hay is dry enough to bale, then how do you store that?
We just net wrap bales, and then they're stored outside.
Okay. All right. And then during the winter months, you'll be able to utilize that as feed.
Correct. Yep.
Do you ever do a nutrition test on that in terms of checking out the percentage of protein that you have?
Yes, we do. And like the last few years, it's comparable to good grass hay. When you dry bale it. Now, if you put it into a wet bale, you're going to have, it'll be more digestible. But for our operation, we need more dry hay, and we'll supplement throughout the winter with corn silage and make sure the cattle's nutrient needs are taken care of with either straight corn silage, or it just kind of depends on the cost or what the price of corn is and everything else, how we balance our nutritional needs on what the cattle need. So.
It's always a balancing act to make sure everything comes out right, especially on those costs as they continue to be somewhat high. Talk about the corn crop that you had. I'm sure you've got corn that you can say, wow, that is awesome looking. Talk about those fields.
So we started planting corn April 13th. The ground conditions were really good. And there was guys that were concerned about the cool weather. Since we're doing quite a bit of minimal till or no till, when the ground conditions are fit and we're in that second week of April, we're going to start planting corn. And the first corn we planted, that first window looks phenomenal. Then we had a rain, planted a bunch of corn, and then we had that, I don't know, was it 3.5, 4 inches of rain? We haven't wrote it down, but we had to go in and patch in spots, and it was pretty challenging to look at for a while. In the dry weather, the corn's really shaping up. The stand on that second planting is a little lacking, but it'll be fine.
Yeah. And that's the crazy thing about it. Your population kind of depends on the moisture that you have in terms of how it's going to yield. You know, there's a perfect balance that a lot of people have the ability to hit, and that's something that some folks don't even realize that farmers need to have that balance. If you have too high of a population and you don't have any moisture, you're not going to have ears of corn that will be developing. So again, you really have to make certain that everything falls into place.
Yeah, you do. But and then we had just a little bit later on in that stand of corn's good. So it was getting late enough that some of the field, it's like you had to make that decision on what do you do here. And it did come around. I think we replanted, patched in probably 70 acres of corn. And that corn came right out of the ground. I know the last year we did that was 19. And that corn ended up being pretty good corn. But when you start off a corn crop and it struggles right out the gate, it really makes you sick to your stomach. But, like I said, this dry weather, the corn's looking good from the road. You walk out there, you see your problems, but we'll just see what this turns out in the end.
Yeah, excellent analogy for sure. I'm talking with Luke Brown over there at Eddyville for my edition of Farmer Friday. How about any planting problems? Did you have any machinery breakdowns or any tractor problems?
Nothing major. We had some lift switches on our bean planter go bad, and I had a wiring harness on our corn planter. Right off the start, we pulled it out of the shed. Everything was working fine, and we went to the field, and it wasn't working. So that was the very first day. It's the first day. We don't plan on getting a whole lot done, working some bugs out, but we normally take a lot of time throughout the winter and make sure our planters are ready to roll. But we didn't have any major breakdowns, nothing that was like catastrophic, I guess. Just a typical planting season. Besides, it just seemed to drag on forever.
Yep, and sometimes that's the way it goes when you're farming. What about nitrogen applications? I know the corn, that first window corn, might be too high to apply, but did you put any nitrogen down?
We haven't did any second pat or any top dressing. We took what we've been doing in years past, and we just got the results back yesterday on soil nitrate test. They came back very variable, and we were testing down to 12 inches. Now, actually, we're going to go out and take some tests a little bit deeper. I think our nitrogen's there, but I want to see if it's deeper. Because when you decide to start applying, we didn't plan on a second application of nitrogen, but we don't want our corn to run out of gas, say, here in August. We're taking some more samples to see if our nitrogen is further down in the soil profile. That's what we're hoping for, but that's a decision that still is yet to be made. And we can fly some on with a plane on this larger corn if need be. So it's kind of hitting your nitrogen target it's a moving target. So it's different from field to field. And, I think our nitrate samples actually almost confused me more than it was just all over the board. So we're going to try to figure out what's going on, but I'm sure we lost nitrogen. But let's see what the rest of the growing season brings, and we'll try to target what we need to do here in the next week.
Well, that's what a lot of non-farmer people don't understand, is that you are stewards of the soil and you want to apply the correct amount. I appreciate the fact that you're testing, because you find out how much you have. You just don't say willy-nilly, let's throw on another 50, 60 pounds on top of that when there's already enough in the ground. So kudos to you and your family, Luke, for taking care of that. And, of course, that's vital information, because that's an extra cost. Anytime you put something on that field, it's going to be affecting your bottom line, right?
Yes, it is going to affect the bottom line. And we're running a business, so we just want to make sure we finish that corn out without running out, but we don't want to over-apply. And, you know, it's being a good steward as well. So we're just trying to get the best information we can. And sometimes, like if we go out and do tissue samples later, it's a whole process on, you can almost become more confused. And it takes kind of years of data to realize what you're doing from field to field. And that's what we found. So
good deal.
Sometimes you're looking for answers and you're actually creating more questions for yourself. So.
That's interesting to hear. I'm talking with Luke Brown for my edition of Farmer Friday over there east of Eddyville. What about the cattle herd problems? You got cow-calf action going on. How did things go since the last time we talked to you into the springtime?
Things went well, very well. We were during, I guess the weather was good for calving for us, so no major issues, kind of just a typical calving season for us, nothing out of the ordinary, just a typical grind. And like with as much grass we have out in the pasture, it's a good thing. The last few years being so dry, it's been so hard on the pasture that we needed a good recharge, and just it'll be good for the cow herd. So
well, with that lush pasture, you should be able to keep some of that hay and triticale back and not, you know,
yeah,
give it out so early in the fall, because the pastures hopefully will last that long, right?
Yes. Yep. Ideally, yes.
I've been talking with Luke Brown for my edition of Farmer Friday this week. Luke, thanks for checking in with us here on KIIC.
Thanks, Pat.